You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air, Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff. Coming to you live from our home at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up a little bit later on this hour after the 10:30 news for Audio Sorbet today, the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan will join us to talk all things sports. Packers playing Monday night. Monday night football.
Sure.
They are.
Football.
I heard Pat Kreitlow talking about it on his show this morning.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, 6 to 9, Monday through Friday here on Civic Media. Can't catch up with it live? Go to civicmedia.us/shows and download Mornings with Pat Kreitlow to listen to all episodes going back 2 months. See what I did there? I took what you just said and I hooked it around to push the network and what we offer for free.
For free, absolutely free. And then we'll wrap up the show as we always do with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it is the Cat Burglar Edition, so stay tuned for that. We ended up talking at the top of the hour last hour about the jobs numbers, which came out this morning, and they're not good. Mm-hmm. Layoffs across the U.S. soared last month to more than 153,000. Employers have announced 1.1 million job cuts this year, the most through October since 2020. The other big thing that we wanted to talk about, though, because holidays are coming. Thanksgiving's in just a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And now the Trump administration is limiting some flights during the shutdown as air traffic controllers show strain. This from the Wisconsin Examiner. Jacob Fischler has the byline. U.S. Transportation Secretary Sean Duffy said the FAA is going to restrict air travel in 40 high traffic spots of the country to relieve pressure on our air traffic controllers. They have been working without a paycheck since the government shutdown on October 1st, and these cuts are going to start tomorrow. Now, one of the reasons why I wanted to bring this up is Brian Stile,
Congressman of the 1st District, my personal congressman.
Here in Wisconsin. Mm-hmm. Brian Stile has posited that during a government shutdown, our lawmakers should not be paid. I have no problem with it.
I have zero problem with that as well. Zero. And honestly, some of these lawmakers in Congress in Washington, they wouldn't miss the money at all.
A large number of them will never miss that money. And it started me thinking about essential workers and who are considered essential workers. Considering that the House has been out of session for over a month, mm-hmm. is Congress really essential? If we're going to pay someone during the shutdown, I think we should be paying our air traffic controllers.
Well,
and not members of Congress, particularly ones who have been on vacation for the last month and more. I know, it's crazy.
I think this is a very fertile discussion to have on this, because you think about all the things happening right now. You have individuals who are being expected to and, quote, praised for working for free by the U.S. government. There is all sorts of rumor going around that they might not get their back pay, which has never happened before.
Right.
They get back pay for when they work and not getting paid because
when they're furloughed during a shutdown,
you get your back pay. Mm-hmm. Then on top of that, you've got people like, I don't know his first name, I'll call him Mr. Mellon. That's his last name.
The Mellon money.
Giving $130 million to the DOD, essentially sponsoring paychecks for our service workers. Our soldiers, our soldiers, people who are in active service right now, shouldn't have to worry about a paycheck either.
No.
I mean, I know it's a lot easier to tweet about how great they are than actually do something for them. Yeah. But all these individuals who are still working should have some sort of guarantee of pay during the shutdown. And maybe you take the total sum pay that Congress would be making and you disperse it as best you could.
Yes.
To those individuals who have to put in a hard day's work maybe that's where you start. Don't take sponsorship money from billionaires and legacy millionaires, essentially opening the door for them to say, I gave you $130 million and I need this thing and I need it now.
Exactly.
I'm on board with Brian Stiles' proposal.
I am too.
And from what I understand, Tammy Baldwin's on board with it. And
has DVO checked in on that at all? I would be curious to know.
Every time I ask him about something,
Derek's opinion on not going without a paycheck.
Jane, every time I try to ask him a question, he does one of three
things.
Does
he yell at you?
He ignores me.
Yeah.
He yells at me.
Yeah.
Or he says something wildly inappropriate and weird. So, but it's the I think if you put a poll out right now, and there may be, actually, and I would ask if what percentage of the American population believes that the regular government workers should be receiving, if not pay, partial pay, something to help them buy them groceries, take care of the kids, do the things they need to do. I think that'd be a high number. And that money should come maybe from the government employees who are in the Congress right now who don't probably need the money or should get off their dead butts and get back and actually vote us back into working and do something about it. And maybe swear in a congresswoman elect from Arizona.
Who was duly elected.
Duly elected. And has been, and by the way, and I've seen, we talked about this earlier. I think part of the reason why the shutdown is still taking place, or at the very least the reason why Mike Johnson has said, stay home, is because he doesn't want to swear in Adelita Grivalda.
Yes.
From Arizona.
Yes.
But remember something. She wasn't being sworn in before the government shut down either, and he was finding every reason not to swear her in, even though that's also something. There is no precedent.
No,
he's trying to paint the picture that, we can't do this.
No, he could.
No, he's lying as always.
Yes. Are you going to change your travel plans?
Yeah.
Were you planning to travel for Thanksgiving? Are you planning to fly over Christmas? And now are you considering changing those plans? 855-752-4842. We are talking about U.S. Transportation Secretary Wisconsin's own Sean Duffy saying the FAA is going to restrict air travel in 40 high traffic areas around the country to take some pressure off of our air traffic controllers who are not getting paid during the government shutdown. As far as Mitchell goes, this from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Milwaukee travelers get ready for longer security lines and flight delays if this shutdown continues. Nationwide shutdown-related flight disruptions so far, minimal, but some airports like the bigger ones, New York, Houston, have seen hours-long delays now in just the last couple of days.
Mm-hmm. And it will get worse for the holidays.
Worse. Yeah.
It will get worse for the holidays.
Yep.
It's not great when the government's working and everything is going well. So honestly, I don't see how we reopen the government unless the Republicans bend, which they won't, because they don't have to. They keep on saying that it's the Democrats' fault. And unfortunately, Democrats are holding steady right now, which is great.
So far.
And we are in day 37, which is 2 days longer than the longest one in 2018 by, wait for it, Donald Trump. Mm. This is a third one. I think third one, you call this the hat trick or like a turkey or you get a ring or something for three shutdowns in two terms. But what does a vote to open up the government look like then? Someone's going to be upset. And I don't think it's going to be the Republicans because I don't think Donald Trump will allow the Republicans to bend extending ACA tax credits.
And that, again, it's important to remind folks, mm-hmm. that's what this shutdown is about,
yeah.
is about restoring those ACA subsidies
yeah.
because people are getting their notifications now about how much their premiums are going to go up without those subsidies.
And if you are one of those individuals who are seeing those notifications come through, let us know, because one of the big discussions, and I would encourage you to go back to our episode with Will Westmoreland, took place a couple of weeks ago, where we talked to him about this matter as well. And when it comes to the ACA subsidies, those premium tax credits, the PTCs they're called, a great deal of farmers take part in that, in the ACA,
right,
getting those tax credits. But then on top of that, they get another tax credit because there's distance, because they're farmers. I want you to go back and listen to the interview with him, because he explains it very well. And he is going to see his premium go up a great deal. We need to make a solution. And to me, I don't know about you, Jane, but the extension of the ACA premium tax credits doesn't seem like a huge problem to pass, if you will. You know what I mean? Like, this is something the Republicans, we were talking about this yesterday off air. If Republicans just gave the people some crumbs, there are individuals out there who would
pull back. That would be a win.
That episode, by the way, is from the October the 14th, Tuesday. It's called The Truth About Tariffs and Our Farmers. Go to civicmedia.us/shows. Go to Matt and Aaron Air. Download, listen to it. Will Westmoreland talks about it beautifully. But just giving Republicans standing point, you know what? We'll do that. We'll extend those and we'll take care of that. We need to help the American people. Even if you're lying, you're still giving them crumbs, and then you can go on and be terrible.
Right. And while at the same time saying, look what we did for you.
Exactly.
Look what we did for you. We heard you. We're responding to you. But instead, they are taking the opposite tack. I believe it was our president yesterday bragging that we've lifted 600,000 people off food stamps. No, you've cut people off of food stamps. Yeah. You haven't lifted them out where they no longer require them. No, it's a different thing.
Well, this is the same party who doesn't say we cut Medicaid. We've secured.
Saved it. Yes.
They use the word. It goes back to the discussion we had with Jim in the previous hour. It's about the semantic arguments. It's about the use of words, because the moment you come at them with the actual evidence, they say, well, I never said cut. I said lift it off. We
lift it out.
So the poverty is just going to go away because that's not how it works when you take away benefits. And that's just, it's never, and I feel like that messaging, that constant barrage of lies in the face of people who need these benefits and need these tax credits are falling short, because these individuals are now in the holiday season, the end of year, seeing those price tags going up. People are going to see those premiums go up, see those grocery bills go up.
And we're all seeing it every day.
And I'm going to say this now. I feel like this week of November, the first week of November 2025, is going to be a very important one for the next year on the elections, the Supreme Court argument on tariffs, and what the president's role is as far as a king versus an executive. I think there's going to be a lot to talk about. And I feel like, from a political standpoint, you and I have talked about this with other guests. If you can go back to your district and say, hey, we saved the ACA for you, you can afford your health care, you will win re-election on that. But no, they're going to dig their heels in. And why are they doing it? For billionaires.
Sue from Franklin texting in, if a two-person household makes less than $84,600 a year, they should not lose their subsidies. That's 400% of the poverty level. $84,600 for two people is not enough. When we return, we're going to talk about the Speaker Emerita.
Ah.
Is retiring. Nancy Pelosi says goodbye. That's coming up. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt and Aaron on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Aaron on Air. Jane Matt and Aaron, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board. Coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can always join us. Call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Just a reminder to download, if you have not yet, the Civic Media app. It is
$2 million a hit.
It's absolutely free. Go to wherever you get your apps. Go to your app store. Look for Civic Media. Download the Civic Media app. It really has lots of great features. You can call, text, voice note directly to whatever show that you're listening to from all across the state.
You can listen to any show. I always want to clarify this. There are some sports events you can't listen to on the app.
On the stream, yeah.
But you can listen to shows, anywhere in the world. We've gotten text messages from people listening on the app in New Zealand, in Vienna, the Philippines, East Brunswick, New Jersey. It's all over the world. You can take that with you. And it's great. You can get great. You can customize for the news that you want to get from the region you want to get it from. And it's always being updated and made better and is absolutely free. And another thing that is free is the Civic Media newsletter, which is Civic Media Today. Go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Sign up right now. Tell a friend. It's a nice distillation of the day's news podcast.
From all over the state.
From all over the network, all over the state, from our great reporters who are embedded all over this wonderful, wonderful state, sent to you. And it, again, it's absolutely free and it's wonderful. So go to civicmediatoday.substack.com. Download the Civic Media app. And while you're on the social medias too, Jane, why not follow Matt and Air on Air on things like Instagram and the Twitters?
You could do that.
And like us on Facebook too. Our Instagram page, in my opinion, is fire. We got great videos put together by our buddy Tony.
Tony does an amazing job
with the videos and gets a lot of great coverage, gets a lot of views, and we're saying really fun stuff or really important stuff. So yeah, you know, get us in your life. We're fun.
Also, when we have contests, and we do a lot of multi-state now because we're in several states, we do multi-state text-to-win contests for wonderful and fabulous prizes that could but probably won't change the course of your life. And there could be another contest coming soon.
Yes.
With incredible prizes.
I've heard rumors.
That rumors are abounding. So download the Civic Media app. It is...
absolutely free.
Thank you very much. I wanted to take a little time to acknowledge Nancy Pelosi. Lover or hater.
She exists.
Lover or hater. She has certainly been a newsmaker.
She's a titan in the halls of that building.
She absolutely is. The first woman to serve as Speaker of the House. Nancy Pelosi has announced she will not run for re-election to Congress. 2 years after stepping down as House Speaker, she is now Speaker Emerita.
Yes.
And the more that I read about her background, she didn't get into politics until she was 47.
Mm-hmm.
She was 47.
Yeah.
And the mother of five, and she waited until her youngest child was in high school.
Yeah.
Before she decided to run for office. And she's been there doing the work.
She's been doing the work. And I think that, you know, you could have a very, sorry, cable news, fair and balanced conversation about her. And as you said, love her. I mean, I don't hate her. I have things that I could say about her tenure. But I think when it comes to that, I believe it goes to the tenure of a lot of people who are serving who've
for
been
a long
for,
time.
You know, she's at 40 years in, and there's a conversation to be had about when you should step down, when you should pass the torch along to the not only that next person, but to the next generation of leadership in your party. I think there's a lot of frustration from individuals such as like a Chuck Schumer, who is very much like, well, but the story of Nancy Pelosi is one that, I mean, that's going to be a book. She's going to write probably a very, very encompassing autobiography on her and her. And I look forward to the story she's going to tell post office, because if it's one thing we've seen, especially from speakers, John Boehner.
Oh, they get to spill the tea.
That man is never not drinking or smoking in an interview. He is always drinking and smoking and always just like, yeah, I don't care what you guys think of me now. I'm out.
I'm done. Yeah. But I made my money.
That's a making their money is a whole other conversation. But there is no doubt that what she has done for that office and her trailblazing is going to be remembered forever.
Without a doubt.
Forever.
Without a doubt. Again, the first female Speaker of the House, 2 terms as Speaker of the House, and got quite a lot of things accomplished. And again, lover or hater, and there are people who are on both sides of Nancy Pelosi, but I give her credit for acknowledging that it's time.
Yeah.
Because we have too many on both sides.
Absolutely.
Who are clinging on, and I get it, but it's time.
No, I and that goes back to the conversation that we had this morning and with Chuck Collins. When is it enough? When the money or for a lot of them it's the power
it's
and
the power and the influence.
It's the spotlight too. It's
oh,
that,
yeah.
You know, she can call a press conference. People are going to be there. In 2 years' time, she can call a press conference and no one might care.
Right.
But yeah, it's asking that question, when is enough enough? When is it time? When do you become the elder statesperson of your party and use your influence in that way
become
as well?
Become a mentor.
Become a mentor.
Become a mentor.
Get a job on cable news. I mean, they'll pay you a lot of money as well, but...
She doesn't need the money.
No.
Nancy's okay.
I think that it's... I think all eyes now are going from California after this announcement to New York because somebody... who won't say who he voted for mayor of New York, is in a place where I feel like he needs to make a decision, Mr. Chuck Schumer.
Yeah.
So
there's a couple of names. Chuck Grassley, another one. Yeah. There's a couple people in there. It's like, come on, you guys.
Yeah.
Go enjoy yourselves. Come with me.
Yeah.
We'll look at birds together.
Well, that was the question.
I'll have bird watching for former members of Congress.
Jane Mattenair announces her retirement on Monday, and now this. I mean, this is a trend setting. This taste making. Jane. Oh my God, Jane and Nancy Pelosi podcast.
It's in the works right now. Yeah. News is coming up next. When we return, we'll lighten it up with a little audio sorbet and talk sports with the Acme Packing Company's Paul Noonan. Keep it here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Mattenair on Air. Jane Mattenair, Greg Bach, our one, our only Cal Zone on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment. If you're watching in the live stream, we stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. He joins us every other Thursday at this time to talk all things sports. The Acme Packing Company sports guru, Paul Noonan, is here. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, everybody. I'm doing great.
Good. Where do you want to start? Should we talk about the Monday game with the Packers?
Let's do that. I think that's a good place to start.
All right.
The Packers are coming off what can only be described as a terribly disappointing loss to a not very good Carolina Panthers team, honestly. And I think concerning because the offense did not show up. The Packers defense had some warts. They let themselves get run on quite a bit by Rico Dowdle. But fundamentally, they held the Panthers to 16 points. And the Packers not being able to score 16 points is kind of embarrassing. This happened to them earlier against the Browns. The Browns at least boasted pretty decent defense. Carolina really doesn't. It was a weird game for Matt LaFleur. They did not seem to adjust well to a couple of very smart moves by Carolina. And they lost Tucker Kraft for the season.
Yeah.
And so now Matt LaFleur has to make a bunch of pretty massive adjustments to the way that the game is played for the Packers offense. They rely on Kraft a lot. They love to power run with the option to pass to him, and that's gone. There is not a replacement on the roster for him. Luke Musgrave is their backup tight end. He's more of a big receiver. He is not a good blocker. It's not why he was drafted. It's not anything he'll ever be good at. They might get Jaden Reed back, if not this week, next week. So they will get some weapons back to replace him, but this makes this game require more coaching than Matt LaFleur typically does. They have not blocked well in the running game. They've been a very poor running team. Josh Jacobs is actually one of the poor guy. He's having a bad season statistically, but he has like the least yards before contact of any running back or any starting running back in the league. He gets hit really quickly. And the Eagles are a very smart team. That's why they won the Super Bowl last year. They're talented. They're good at this. And it's going to be a little tricky for the Packers, who should shift to more of a open pass focused offense against a team that actually has had a lot of trouble in their secondary this year. The Eagles are good at a lot of things, but they're very hurt. They made a bunch of trades actually, maybe not as bad as they were before the trade deadline, but they can be passed on. And so this game I really view as more of an intelligence test for Matt LaFleur. Like, the Packers are banged up. If they go in and lose, I won't be that surprised. But they're still a really talented team. The defense is still playing at a very high level. They got an interception last week. They held Bryce Young to like 100 yards passing. And the Eagles, despite their lofty record, are closer to an average team underneath the surface. So this is one they can win. But if they just go out and they play the same game they do with Kraft that they did last week, their run is going to get completely stuffed. They're going to end up in bad third and long situations. And they are not going to have the same kind of passing outlets available to them with Kraft not there. They need to throw more vertical stuff to Watson, who's very, very fast and tall and can run down the field quickly. If Reed is back, more vertical to him, and they haven't been willing to do that. So I'm worried about this game, but I think there is an avenue if Matt LaFleur gets into his bag a little bit.
Well, and that's something
to do it.
That's something that you, as well as J.R. Radcliffe, had talked to us about, is the fact that the not this pass game, but the one before was really highlighted Jacob Love's passing ability, and he got over 300 yards, something that wasn't being highlighted and showcased a lot because they were handing the ball off so much. We can see that he can throw the ball, and maybe it's time to put the trust in that, especially in light of these problems that have arisen, that we say, all right, let the kid throw the ball, let him connect with those receivers down the field and go for those medium to big plays to push the ball down for more yardage versus, like you're saying, just getting hit immediately and then with nothing to happen but try to get a first down on long. That doesn't seem like it makes sense. Give him the ball, let him throw the ball, and trust in Jacob and Jordan Love.
Yeah. It would also have a nice knock-on effect. One of the problems the Packers have is they run really slowly. In this last game against the Panthers, they had 7 offensive possessions. And just to put that into context, I know people don't know how many times you possess the ball in football. The Lions, playing at the same time, also had an embarrassing loss to the Vikings, but they run at a normal tempo. And they had 11 possessions in that game, which is more the standard NFL amount of possessions. Some teams run it all the way up to 13 or 14. So essentially, the Packers have 4 fewer opportunities to score points than an average NFL team per game. And they're efficient on a play-to-play basis. But in this last game, you failed on a 4th down. So that's 1 of 7. They missed a field goal. That's 2 of 7. Jordan had one bad interception. He tends to do that once in a while. That's 3 out of 7. And then they had the Savion Williams fumble in the red zone. Sometimes things just happen, and if you don't give yourself enough chances to overcome them, the Packers essentially gave themselves 3 chances to score points. They got a touchdown and 2 field goals, when if you just add an extra 4 possessions, they probably get another couple touchdowns and another field goals, and this is a blowout, and they don't lose it. So hopefully they're okay, but I'm still worried. They seem to like to play slow.
If you're just joining us, Paul Noonan is here from the Acme Packing Company, and we're talking all things sports, talking about the Monday night game between the Packers. They will be at the Eagles. I'm wondering, Paul, if, and this is completely speculative, obviously, but is Matt LaFleur losing some of his fire, do you think? Is he getting tired?
You can never know what's going on in the mind of a coach. It is one thing, but I will say this. They've had a lot of brain drain on the team. They've lost a lot of coaches who've been promoted with other teams. He's part of the Shanahan-McVay coaching tree. Those guys are often in high demand. And some of the guys they've kept, they might be getting Peter principled a little bit. And I'll give you one example. Adam Stenovich has been their offensive line coach for quite a while now, at least 5 or 6 years. He's actually been promoted the last 2 years to offensive coordinator. To keep him, if you've got a promotion, then he can't interview for something that's higher. He can only basically go be a head coach at this point. But he's one of the best offensive line coaches in football. He's the reason the Packers have been able to turn so many 3rd and 4th and 5th round offensive linemen into reliable NFL starters over the course of his tenure. And now that he's not in that position anymore, their offensive line has really suffered. This is one of the worst Packer offensive lines in a decade. And they have young players. They have Anthony Belton. They have Jordan Morgan. And they don't seem to be improving at the rate that guys used to improve under him. So that is definitely worrisome. And to LaFleur's point, he doesn't seem quite as sharp in game management. It's weird to look at Packer underlying metrics. Like, if you look at just efficiency metrics, just like, how efficient is every play on average? They're first. Their offense is like the best in the NFL.
Really?
But yeah, I know that sounds insane.
It does.
Look at it at rbsdm.com. But the way that their offensive plays kind of line up and stack up, he doesn't seem to have the same level of like game awareness that a lot of other coaches do. And they do some example from the Carolina game. They had a 3rd and 3, I think, in the 3rd quarter. They were very close to Carolina's goal line. I think they were at the 8. They were close to scoring. And he called essentially a swing pass to Emmanuel Wilson, their running back. And it's, by the way, it was backwards pass. So it's a run in the game book because it wasn't a forward pass. it's a weird call. And it's not just a weird call because I'm not saying it's like it's a bad play in a vacuum, but you needed 3 yards for a first down. The pass that they threw is called the bubble screen. And the bubble screen relies on the guy who catches the ball beating one defender by himself. It's not blocked. The bubble is space. That is the bubble. It's not blocking. It's space. And so if you get by that one defender, usually you can pick up a whole bunch of yards. Usually it's like a 10-yard minimum play. But the downside of that isn't that you pick up 3 yards. It's that you pick up zero.
Yeah.
Or you get blown up in the backfield by a good tackler. And so for that particular instance, it's a weird call, and it did blow up in their face. He caught the ball, and they lost 5 yards on the play. They went for it on 4th and 8 and failed. And there's a lot of weird Matt LaFleur calls like that, where it's not like that play is fine to run on, like, 2nd and 5 or something like that. But in that situation, it's very unlikely to result in you not getting a touchdown and not getting a first down.
Mm-hmm.
And that happens too much. He falls in love with these little weird concepts. Even the Savion Williams fumble, that is a rookie who does not play on offense very much because he's a gadget player in a very crucial situation. And fumbles are kind of random. But on a 3rd and important, you don't necessarily want to trust the guy who's only carried the ball like 6 times the whole season. Stuff like that happens too much. So I don't know if he's losing his edge or not, but he doesn't seem to adjust for high leverage versus low leverage.
Mm.
And that is my biggest complaint about him. And it shows up in his underlying statistics.
Interesting.
Paul Noonan is here to talk all things sports. We got about 3 minutes left, Paul. Let's move over to the Bucks. They did have a loss, but they came back with a win.
Yeah, yeah. The Bucks, if nothing else, seem to be pretty good this year. Well-rounded. I was skeptical about this just because they're getting older. The Miles Turner thing was great, but Giannis is obviously going to be front and center every single time, but the way that they have been getting balanced scoring from every other major contributor on the team is, I think, a really good sign at this point. And the loss that they did suffer to the Raptors, they did kind of get blown out. But it's the first really bad loss they've had, and it was the first back-to-back they've had. They're probably going to struggle in back-to-backs this year. Older teams tend to struggle in back-to-backs, just generally speaking. It's hard to play back-to-back basketball games. Hard to do back-to-back any professional sport.
Hard to watch back-to-back basketball games, honestly.
It was not a work of beauty, is also for sure. I don't see as many Bucks games as I should because I'm not actually local, but I did watch this one. And I wish I'd seen a different one.
I like that as your professional sports writing opinion. I wish I'd seen a different one.
Why did it have to publish be that game? Yes.
But I don't think there's a lot of cause for concern. If you struggle in back-to-backs over the course of a regular season, that's not the worst sin in the world. That's why so many teams do so much load management work. And like Giannis looks re-energized. Not that game, but for the most part. They look dynamite, and they're right in the thick of things. They're 5th in the East right now, but you know it's early, it's small sample size. But they have some of the best underlying basketball math. They've been super efficient. Their like PER is really good. Very high on the Bucks right now. I didn't think they had this in them. I thought they might be kind of a squeak into the playoffs kind of team, and they look like a legit contender. And if Giannis can play this way all year, they legitimately will be a legit contender.
Well, that's just the thing, though. It's a long season. Mm-hmm. Basketball is a long season.
And something I've learned from you, Paul, and JR, and Dan Schaefer, and Luke Mathers, and Calvin, is that none of this matters because the postseason's the only thing that matters. It's like a whole new season
and
of basketball.
And it starts all
over.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that is 100% true. And especially the basketball postseason is so long, too. And it used to matter, like, home field used to matter. By the way, one weird thing about all sports is home field's kind of gone away across the board. Like
really?
Basketball, football, even baseball. Yeah, really bizarre. A lot of theories, but not any good ones. The travel getting more comfortable for everybody is the main one. But that is true. That's why it doesn't matter they lost this game. As long as they're ready when the playoffs roll around, that's all that matters.
Paul Noonan is with the Acme Packing Company. He joins us every other Thursday to talk all things sports. Really appreciate your time. Paul, thank you so much. We'll see you in a couple.
Thanks, guys.
Stay with us. When we return, we'll wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing, Cat Burglar Edition. Don't go away. You're listening to Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvitini on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us, call or text at 855-752-4842. Leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Tomorrow is Friday.
What?
Yes, tomorrow already Friday. That means Dan Schaefer will be here, Civic Media's political editor, also the creator of the Recombobulation Area. A lot of things to talk about with Dan, including finally some information from Superintendent of Schools Jill Underley.
Yeah, the DPI, I hesitate to call this scandal just because I feel like that's kind of like, you know, hyper dramatic. I mean, it's bad. It's very, very bad. And it's not just the fact that like what's happening in the DPI, but as we've said with Dan, the stunning lack of anything coming from the Democrats is bad. But there's going to be information to talk about tomorrow with him. We will be talking about that as well as some other things. Actually, he just got back to me about what he wants to talk about. So I can tell you right now, he'd like to talk about the DPI information.
Yep.
What Tuesday's election results will mean for Wisconsin. And we didn't get to it today, but a Ron John flip-flop.
Rojo flip-flop. Wisconsin senior senator changing his mind.
Defender of the vaccine injured.
Yes, he's all in on that. We'll kick that stuff around along with much more coming up tomorrow with Dan Schaefer, who will be joining us from the Recombobulation Area. Calvin, it is 10:54. That means it's time for...
This shouldn't be a thing.
If you ever find a thing you think should not be, send it into Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. Jane Says at civicmedia.us. Calvin found this one. Victor Sosu has the byline from townflex.com.
Oh, I feel like you just made that up.
Headline reads, French woman fined 1,250 euros because her cat keeps sneaking into her neighbor's garden.
That seems like a lot.
A court in southern France has ordered a 70-year-old woman to pay 1,200 euros after her cat was found guilty of repeatedly invading a neighbor's property, turning an ordinary neighborly dispute into a costly legal fight. The court ruled that Dominique Valdez, owner of the ginger cat named Remy, was responsible for disturbances in her neighbor's garden. In addition to the fine, the court imposed a 30-euro penalty for every future trespass by Remy the cat. Remy allegedly left paw prints on wet plaster, urinated on a duvet, defecated in the garden. Valdez, the cat's owner, insists this is all based on speculation. Where's the video?
It's a fake news.
Where's the proof?
Uh-huh.
She argued several other similar-looking cats roam freely in the neighborhood, making it impossible to conculusively identify Remy.
Oh, you're like really sticking to the French pronunciation of that name.
When I received notification of the conviction, it was as if I had been violently struck on the head, Dominique Valdez said. She said since the verdict came down, she's been forced to keep Remy indoors to prevent future penalties. He's gained weight and become aggressive, she says. It's like he's been sentenced to house arrest. She maintains the decision is unfair, saying the judge dismissed her concerns about the lack of evidence. This isn't even over. She has to go back to court next month after reports that Remy once again crossed the property line and caused some catnip. Like, we don't know what happened. She could face another $2,300 fine.
Oh, my goodness.
And a daily penalty of 150 euros.
That seems like very, very aggressive sentencing and punishment.
And if you have a whole bunch of feral cats in your neighborhood, mm-hmm. how do you know this was her cat?
Yeah, this just doesn't seem like this seems like a $50 punishment for a $5 crime here. This is not something that needs to honestly, I mean, I know people in the south of France probably have some money, but you don't have to bankrupt somebody. Also, very interesting, their choice of language as far as like invading the property. It's not often you hear about successful French invasions.
It's true.
So it's really good to see them finally get their
defending.
Their due.
They're defending. The case sparking debate across France over pet ownership responsibilities and property rights also highlights how seemingly minor neighborhood disputes can escalate into costly legal challenges.
Man, I'm glad I have a fenced-in yard.
You know, one easy way to take care of this problem is keep your cats in the house and get them a catio.
What is that?
You have a little extender out in your house. It's a little play area for your cats so they can't go through the neighborhood and kill birds.
Yeah, it just sounds like then it doesn't sound like it. The way she makes
it's
it sound
like a little penitentiary for kitties.
Well, wow. Really? A penitentiary?
A penitentiary.
It's a penitentiary. I would say instead of finding her, say, you must take your money and build a thing that allows your cat to be outside. Like, a catio sounds nice, but it sounds like it's limiting. This cat seems like it needs to roam. But also, again, that's a lot of money, but I'm never going to not think of penitentiary now.
That's good.
Thank you very much.
That's a money-making idea.
That should
right
be on a
there.
T-shirt.
Absolutely. That wraps up today's episode of...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Thank you, Greg and Calvin, and all of our engineers and everyone at Civic Media, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and texting and listening and watching on the stream. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it. We have news coming up next. So keep it right here on the vast, statewide, countrywide. You can pick us up around the world on the Civic Media Radio Network. We'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.